Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way.
So Katie, let's just dive right in and talk to us about how you transitioned out of corporate America and found yourself where it is that you are today.
Sure thing. First off, I am a jackass of all trades. I've really come to where I am now through a very long and winding road. I am a stand-up comic with over 20 years of experience. I started in high school. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I started out there. Then I came to Northwestern, where I studied nothing business or performing. I studied history, but I still did a bunch of stand-up and sketch and a lot of great stuff. After graduation, I worked behind the scenes for documentary television production. I worked on shows for A&E and the History Channel and National Geographic. And then after a couple of years, I realized I loved telling stories, but you don't know how your audience is reacting if they're watching at home on a TV screen. Mm-hmm. And a couple other things happened that I decided to pivot. I went and earned my Master's of Education from DePaul University. Taught middle school for the Chicago Public Schools for a bunch of years. And that worked out great because that's roughly my maturity level. So it was awesome.
And I love how it's you claim it to be the best stand-up training humanly possible, teaching
hands
students.
No, listen, when you have 12-year-old boys who do not want to be there and you're trying to teach them the difference between the three theirs, if you're not on your game, like, forget it. They're going to like eat you alive. Mm. So, yeah, I like to say that I used to do two hour shows a day, every day for the same audience. So it was like, I'm actually unheckable because of various occurrences. But then when my first daughter was born, she had some health issues. She's totally fine now, but took a little bit of break. And in returning to stand up and storytelling, around Chicago, I realized a couple of things. First of all, there was no show near my house in LaGrange, Illinois. So I created a show called The Mother Cluckers, which is a lot of fun.
Nice.
It's a stand up for parents and people who've had parents. So it's, you know, got a wide umbrella there. And from the corporate angle, I have had friends for years who've said, oh, I've got to give this presentation. I'm not sure how to do it. Or I have to go to this work function. I feel awkward. I feel introverted. And just naturally through the storytelling experiences I've had my whole life, I started sort of coaching them accidentally. And then more and more friends were asking, well, would you ever do this for my team or for, you know, a small group that I know. So it really kind of organically emerged from there. And I'm actually hoping to get my new logos today. Mother Cluckers Comedy, my company, is splitting into two. We're going to have Mother Cluckers Comedy, which is still the awesome comedy arm. And then Katie Speaks and Presents is my is where all the corporate offerings are going to be.
Yeah.
From now on.
Well, that's amazing. And I want to spend time in dive deeper into what you do in terms of the corporate, because a lot of my listeners, like I shared with you before we hopped on the podcast, they are in early stages of their business and still dipping their toes in marketing and storytelling. And even I know that I have room to continue learning, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what are some of the like key points of storytelling and what do we need to make sure that we're hitting on so that we can create that compelling brand that leads to increased sales, we attract and retain the clients that we're looking for, and we can
exactly
increase the happiness even if we're sitting in a silo or sitting by ourselves at home or we have a small team, right? Talk to us about that.
So really, storytelling is ultimately what connects all of us. You know, we all know about the cave paintings back in your we've been storytelling since we could walk upright. And ultimately what stories do is not only does it obviously inform your client about the services or products that you're offering, but it also puts them at ease that they're working with humans and not sort of some overreaching corporate overlord. You know, if you notice today, brands as big as Coca-Cola are starting to focus more on individual stories, like that whole Share Your Coke with Susie campaign. Remember that a couple summers ago? Mm-hmm. And it's all about trying to get people to have conversations with one another. So, and it's interesting because while we can tell stories about other friends or other people's businesses well, I find that a lot of my clients, and myself included, have a hard time saying what is the story of what they are trying to sell or produce. So that's what I work primarily with my clients on, is figuring out their story, which they do intrinsically know. Like, it's not like they're making stuff up on the fly, but it's framing it in a certain way that it connects to their audience.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those things? Because I struggled with that too, when it was, if it's just me sitting down trying to write, okay, this is what my story, this is what she did her way is. It doesn't come out as eloquently if I have someone else on the other side asking me the questions to answer. So is there a type of framework that you take your clients through that you could walk us through here on the show?
Absolutely. So the first thing that I tell all of my clients is stories are natural, living, breathing things. They are organically going to change over time. So the first couple of times you tell your story is what I call the shitty first draft. And when you tell your story the first time or first 10 times and it doesn't feel perfect, that's okay, because your business is evolving, so your story is going to evolve. One of the first things that I recommend people do is what I call a brain dump. You get out a sheet of paper and you just write down it's interesting that you brought up the questions point. If you were interviewing yourself and you wanted to know about your business, what questions would you ask? So you write those questions down on a sheet of paper. I'm actually a giant fan. Have you seen those giant post-it notes that you can, they're literally like
on the wall? So,
yeah, you put them on the wall. I have them everywhere in my house. And so what I would do is I would write down the questions that you want to answer. And then as you're walking by and something sparks your imagination, you just jot it down. And you give yourself a good 24 to 48 hour to write down what comes to mind. And then this is the key point. You put it away then for 24 hours. Mm. You don't think, oh, it's shitty. Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't think of anything. Because unfortunately, we all have that sort of nasty part of our brain that comes in and tells us that we're stupid. But if you put it away for 24 hours, you don't have time to, you know, beat up yourself.
Yeah.
Then after hours, bring it back out. You go, hey, I actually am smart. Look at these cool things I did. You circle your top ideas that jump out at you. And that's going to be where you start thinking about telling your story.
Mm. I know. Well, at the beginning when you said, you know, everybody has a shitty first draft, that is, it's so important to have that grace for ourselves in that process, because the beginning stages of a business is a vulnerable time. There's a lot of things that are still changing and evolving. And if we allow the paralysis of thinking about having to be so perfect on the first draft, that's going to stop us from even taking action from the beginning.
Exactly. I mean, there's stories that I have been telling for years. Like, I have a story about my daughter basically being a giant jerk at preschool and me having to go in and like hide in a closet to take care of it. It's a long story, but it's one that I have been working on for years, and it is getting better with each telling. So yeah, that, like you said, that grace to give yourself the space is extremely, extremely important. If you're specifically trying to tell the story of your business or your brand, the next thing I would do is write down that shitty first draft. And you want to remember, this goes back to like seventh grade English class, all stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And sometimes we forget about that when we're thinking in the terms of business. Mm. What is the beginning of your story? What are some details you can put in to say, this is how the journey is going along? every story has a climax, that moment where you decide to take the leap and start your business, or that moment where you get your first client and you have really, you know, great success and you've helped make their life better, whatever it is. And then you still have to wrap it up. So after your brain dump, write your story, beginning, middle, and end. And again, put it away for 24 hours. Do not look at it. Just let it be. After that, I would find a trusted friend or advisor. This is not the time to go to your mom who thinks everything's great. This is time to go to someone who is your champion, but also is going to, you know, say, I like this part. I want to know more about this part, et cetera, et cetera. And after all of that pre-work, you have the beginning of a story.
Okay. What are, I want to go back. So I've got three steps here. Cool. And you recapped them nicely too. You said, write down what are the questions that you want to ask yourself, or just think of the questions that you'd ask someone else's business and then ask yourself those questions. And then number two, write down the first draft, give yourself beginning, middle, and end. And then three, take a trusted friend who's a champion that can give you that honest feedback and write your first, like the beginning of the story. I want to go back. What are three good questions, just in case, you know, someone's sitting there like, I don't want to ask the wrong question to my friend. So what are maybe three or four questions that my audience can get started with step number one?
For step number one, I would sit down and imagine. So let's do it for She Did It Her Way. Okay.
God. Oh, love this.
All right. Here we go. Hot seat, mama.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
All right. So Amanda.
Yes.
Why did you choose the name She Did It Her Way?
You know, I get this question asked a lot. Is it wrong to say that it came to me? I mean, it was in 2014. It was either 2013 or 2014. And the term She Did It Her Way came to me, and I had shared with a friend at a time. And I was like trying to force it into something else other than what it is today. And it didn't work. And so I held on to it until the end of 2014. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to start a podcast and it's going to be called She Did It Her Way. So that's the story.
That's perfect. Okay. So, and what I've learned about you, and this is a part of training that I do later with my C-suite clients, is I've learned some interesting character traits about you. Let's analyze you now. Sorry, Amanda. Like, why did I invite this girl on the show?
Love it, because this has happened in a few other podcast interviews, and I got really, really positive feedback from the listeners. And I think it's great. Like, it's one thing to talk and provide knowledge, but it's a totally different experience to see it in action. So I appreciate
it. We've all been to those trainings where it's like, thanks for all that stuff that I don't
never
know how to
not
now
implement.
Never know how. So here's what I've learned about you. You trust your gut. You have a good idea. You just are like, you know what? I'm gonna run with it. I'm gonna see what happens. You are a go-getter, because again, you're like, you know what? I have this name. I'm gonna start a podcast. I'm gonna see what happens. And you still though also seek counsel. So you're not just flying by the seat of your pants. You are testing it. You're not just randomly going out there into the universe and saying, everyone would like my cheese and tacos, you know, podcast about business. And everyone's like, why did you call it cheese and tacos? That was poor marketing. You should have checked with someone.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. What's the next question?
All right. So, Amanda, that I have is, why did you, because it started as a podcast, correct? Uh-huh. I just want to be sure. So, why did you decide to do a podcast as opposed to a blog or, you know, a stand-up show or whatever?
Yeah.
Why a blog? Why a podcast?
I know that my strength lies in conversation and being able to ask really good questions. Plus, it's more comfortable for me versus writing and blogging takes a lot. I mean, writing and blogging takes similar amount of time as it does for me to prep for the podcast. But from the energy standpoint, I get more energy out of conducting interviews, researching, going through submissions, finding people, curating guests than writing block. Plus, this is really interesting. So it started out as a podcast, and then I wanted to introduce blogging because I felt like I should. Mm-hmm. But it would go in waves. I'd be really good at it. I would maintain it once a week. It would go for 3 months. And then when push came to shove and I had limited time, I'm like, I just want to get really good at podcasts. Mm-hmm. And maybe that means not doing blog posts right now. So I actually gave more information than I think that you asked, but
now listeners
know too.
No, that's great.
Yeah, it's not to say that I won't go back to blogging. I just know that my sweet spot is showing up and doing the best that I can in interviews right now. And then who knows down the road, maybe bring on blogging again.
Perfect. So just in those two questions alone. And so let's why the name, why the podcast? And then let's just do one more. What scared you the most about starting this process? Every story needs conflict, kids.
So when I started the podcast, this was back in 2015. I started it as I didn't actually have a full-on vision for what I wanted. The reason why I started it is because I was also an independent contractor at the time. It felt like I was in a rowboat by myself, traveling, didn't really have community, and I wanted to be able to connect with other women and learn from them. So that's where the podcast started. It was one a week. And then as it started gaining traction, then I realized, I'm like, well, I actually probably, I want to give more time to it. And then that's when it really transitioned. And I think when it started gaining momentum is actually when I started to get a little bit more scared, because I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing actually has legs and it's going somewhere. And it's that the OSM, the oh shit moment, when you're like, all right, I have to step up to the plate. I need and I want to lead these women who are showing up in allowing me to show up in their earbuds every single week. And I want to be a better leader for them. And I think just in that moment of committing and saying yes was like, whoa.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you just told the story of She Did It Her Way podcast. You just told it. And
there we go.
There you go. Yeah, really, you did. So we took your questions, and what I, you know, let me repeat back to you what I heard is, so in 2014, Amanda gets this great idea called She Did It Her Way, and she is thinking about it and checks with a couple of friends, but she decides, you know what, life is short. I'm going to take the leap and I'm going to start a podcast. And so the podcast starts in 2015, and it's very exciting and she's having a ton of fun. When all of a sudden the podcast is really getting a lot of notice and traction and legs and people are paying attention. And while this is so exciting for Amanda, she realizes she has a choice to make. She can either jump into the void and lead her group fearlessly, even though she's fearful herself at times, or she can back off. But you know what? Amanda is a strong leader. So Amanda makes the choice to go gung-ho to She Did It Her Way. And all these amazing things have happened, you know, Oscars, Tonys, Grammys, Ticket Day at the end. There you go.
That was amazing. That was really good. One thing that I noticed about you too is that you're really good at pulling out things, like listening in a way that it's what I'm not saying is what you are picking up. And most of the time when people hear what other people are saying, they just repeat back from a parrot standpoint.
Yeah.
But you do a really good job at picking up things that I didn't say. Well, I'm going to make a note and have my VA pull exactly what you just said and type it and send it to me. I'm going to use it. I love that.
Yeah, no,
okay.
Seriously, girl.
Those are great questions. So yeah. One, why did you start your company or your brand? And then why did you choose that specific thing to start with? And then what scared you? So those are really great questions. Thank you. I appreciate that. Awesome. So let's dive into, I love those tips. Let's go into overall business. I know looking back, what is something you wish you would have invested in sooner in your business?
So, you know, I am a glass half full person to the point of annoyance. My husband will tell you it's like Pollyanna on steroids. So I like to look at things not as what I did wrong, but really something that I'm really glad I did. I hired an accountant when I had no business, like I, my poor little, like I had an LLC, that's what I had, and I had no money, and it was the least sexy thing I could have done. But I have an amazing accountant. Her name is Kathy Dearest of Brightwater Financial and Accounting. And she just set me up from the beginning, because if you're in the type of creative like I am, math is hard. I don't do it well. I don't pretend like I'm going to do it well. So knowing from the beginning that I had this advisor who was there to make sure, A, things were kosher with the government, you know, that's always a good thing. But, you know, at the same time, she also has been great in growing my business, because I can bounce ideas off of her. And she even gives me a sticker fund where I'm allowed to spend a percentage of my money on stickers that I make for people, where if I was not reined in, it would be a problem.
Yeah. I love that advice. And I mean, I can, my own experience, I, even as an independent contractor, I didn't think that I needed an accountant. I was like, I know I can do this, da, da, da. And 2 years in, I was like, nope, get an accountant. And even if you, let's say, haven't started or incorporated your business, it's still worth it to reach out and have a 30-minute conversation to flesh out your ideas, to hear the other side of what the accountant says. Like, these are the things to be mindful of. It's still so worth so much to reach out to that accountant. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I think the best piece of advice I've received is something along the lines of just keep going. Like, you, so I have a quote above my desk that I actually pulled from an Entertainment Weekly article. And it's like the only crafty thing I've ever done in my life. I made like a poster of it. It's, people achieve their dreams in unorthodox ways, man. And I'm one of those people. And that is from, Holly Hunter, the actress. And, you know, if you had told me 20 years ago that I'd be, you know, working on corporate training, I'd be like, you know, little dorky actor Katie would have been like, "You sold out, man." Now I'm like, I love the man. The man is fantastic. This is great. So just, you know, I'm from LA, so I get to be dorky. So just be open to the journey, kids. That's it.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of listeners, entrepreneurship is unorthodox to most people. Mm-hmm. And so being comfortable and owning that and pushing forward, for sure. Well, let's talk about some of your favorite software tools that you love to use.
Yes. Everyone needs to, if you haven't gotten Grammarly, buy that today and pay for the premium version. Grammarly is basically like an online spell checker on steroids. It helps with grammar, obviously the name Grammarly. You can run a, what's that thing? Plagiarism thing to make sure you're accidentally not, you know, plagiarizing anything. I use it all the time, and it connects also to like Gmail. So no one wants to be that person sending off the important email to a client and then using the wrong there, for example.
So Grammarly has saved me so many times.
It's the best, and it's not that expensive. Like, buy that yesterday. I'm a big Canva person, especially because I love visuals, but I'm not trained in visual stuff. So it helps you with the Instagram and the all of the things that we need to pop up these days. Yeah, those are probably the two things I love the most. I'm also a big Slack person. I don't pay for Slack, but I'm on a couple of different Slack channels with people. And that helps with my VA and all that good stuff.
I love it. I know Slack is a fantastic one, but totally on board with Grammarly for sure. Talk to us about your experience with failure, and when was the time when you experienced failure that had later on set you up for success?
Honestly, it's not that I hate to say that I'm failing all the time, but you know what? I feel like it's like I'm growing all the time. Like, for example, last year, when I really started to lean into doing this, you know, corporate stuff, I was trying to set up an online course. And you know what, kids? I'm bad at marketing. Like, I'm not bad at it. It's just, it's not my wheelhouse. It's something I'm having to learn. So I created this pretty, I thought, good online course about bringing comedic sales to your business. And like, I sold like 3 to my mom and 1 randomly to someone in France. I have no idea how they found me, but bless their heart. So for me, I've put that on the shelf But interestingly enough, someone I know in the space might be using it for I'm going to be part of the Sparkle Hustle Grow Box, at least part of their interview series in November, and she may be using the course there, which would be awesome because I'd love for people to get access to it. But again, you know, at the time, it went out into the universe, and the universe said, no, thank you. That's not okay. Another thing is I have a podcast called The Bossy Cluckers. Again, marketing, not my strong suit. And the first season was a lot of fun. I have a great co-host. But due to just time in life, my co-host can't participate anymore. But I'm using it. I'm morphing it. I'm going to be calling it The Katie Speetson Show. And I'm going to be relaunching it soon. And there's still great content. So, you know, for those moments where you're like, oh, my God. This totally didn't work. Just try to think of it as this just didn't work today.
Yeah.
Put it away. See what happens with it later.
Yeah. It's so true. And sometimes it needs, maybe it's not the right time.
Exactly.
Maybe it takes some tweaking. And I know, like you said, that those experiences, especially for the online course, really showed you the desire to want to interact with people. And that's when you started your live program, and it completely showed you and opened another door versus thinking, okay, this is a failure. I'm a failure.
Exactly. And it's like you said, with the energy thing, like the whole reason I got out of documentary television was because I wanted to see people react to what I was teaching. Why I thought that I would be emotionally fulfilled doing the same thing in front of a computer screen. It's like, yo, Speetson, learn something from yourself. But at the same time, it's a cool course. I do hope to tweak it and get it back out in the universe at some point. It's just, you know, it's just not today. And that's fine.
Yeah. Well, let's close this out with a rapid fire round, because I love doing these because everybody's answers are so different. What is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Sleep.
Sleep. What is the one thing where you get your inspiration from?
Let's see, my crazy children, because they say absolutely weird things.
Okay. What do you believe others think that, what do you believe that others think is insane?
That the universe provides, man. I'm going to get all West Coast on you. Like, put out the good vibes. The universe will provide.
Create the space and trust. What's the best $100 or less purchase one can make in their business?
Grammarly.
Yes.
Grammarly. Brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly, like, literally find me and I'll tattoo something.
Good. I love it. Well, Katie, where can my listeners find out more information about you and connect with you online?
Fantastic. So I am at ktspeetzen.com, ktspeetzen.com, and at mothercluckerscomedy.com. I'm on the Facebook. I am currently rebranding like this week. So you're going to be seeing some really cool things rolling out from me soon. More of a YouTube experience with little mini bon mots of how to help your story, that it's going to be launching really soon. I'm excited.
I love it.
I'm also, I'm also at the, I'm at the Type A Blogger Conference in Chicago in September, speaking at the VIP session if anyone wants to come.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Blogger.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Katie. I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm excited for my listeners to hear this episode with you, which you guys can find out more information and catch all the show notes at shedidherwaypodcast.com. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.